From the book of John, chapter 14, verses 8 to 17, and then we're jumping ahead to 25 and 27. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and will in fact do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." And then verse 25. Oh, we're going to keep going. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, and that's the Holy Spirit. This is a spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." Now, verse 25. "I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So that was John 14. That's the farewell discourse. That's before Jesus is heading to the cross. Now we're in John 20. The beginning of John 20 is the resurrection of Jesus when Mary mistakes Jesus for the gardener. But later in John 20, we're going to read verses 19 to 23. Jesus is going to appear to the disciples. "When it was evening on that day of the first week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that we have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen." "Ugh," Peter said, "now what?" It was an ending, to say the least, in the life of the disciples. We're here in John chapter 20. Jesus is in the tomb. I mean, it had been a great run with Jesus. It had been wonderful, but now Jesus was dead, crucified by the religious establishment of his day, and the future was looking grim. It had all been going so well, though. I mean, Peter loved hanging out with Jesus. I mean, he and Jesus were like best friends forever, right? And he loved watching Jesus like heal people of some crazy demons, right? It was better than an episode of The Walking Dead any day. He loved learning from Jesus. He learned about who God was because of Jesus in his life. He loved the teaching. He loved all the time they spent just walking around together. He loved laundry day with Jesus. Everything was great with Jesus. And now it was over. It had ended. I mean, Jesus was in a tomb. This chapter of their life gone. And yet it had all been going so well. And so when we come across Peter, and when we see him, where do we find him in John chapter 20? He is hiding behind a locked door with the disciples. That's not what we think the disciples should be doing, right? If you're relatively new to the church, you should know that we think Jesus' disciples should be out in the world proclaiming the good news, not hiding behind some locked doors. And yet that's where the disciples were. And really, come on, that's definitely not where the 12 disciples are supposed to be. I mean, they were the original, right? These were the people that knew Jesus. He saw Jesus. They witnessed the miracles of Jesus. And now they're hiding behind locked doors. Is this the end of the gospel story as we know it? You know, I think one of the things that Peter loved about Jesus was not just who Jesus was, but who Jesus allowed Peter to be. Because when Jesus was alive, Peter was someone special, right? He was one of the disciples. He was one of the guys. He was in the in crowd. People knew who Peter was. They recognized him, which was a good thing as long as there were no roosters around, right? People knew who Peter was. And so Peter loved Jesus, but Peter also really liked who Jesus made Peter, an important person. A person with a calling in life. A person with a holy purpose to be a part of what Jesus Christ was doing in the world. And so when Jesus died on the cross, something of Peter's identity died as well. He lost a calling. He lost an identity. He lost a God-given purpose in life. And so where do we find the disciples in John 20? Behind locked doors. They're in hiding. They're being cowards, and they're just there. They're just passing the time. They're afraid. They're trying to decide what happens next. Are the authorities going to get them next? Is this where the story of God ends, right here in the Bible? And then suddenly, there is a knock at the door. And before anyone can answer it, Jesus appears in their midst, right? Live, living color, right here. He's got the holes in his hands and in his feet. And he says, "Peace be with you." It's where we get the passing of the peace. Right here in the Bible. "Peace be with you," he says. "Stop worrying." And then he tells them, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." In other words, what looks like an ending in your life, I'm going to make into new beginnings. And then Jesus breathes on them the breath of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if you're facing an ending today, like the disciples in that locked room. Is there an ending you're wrestling with? For some of us in the room, we're facing the biggest ending of them all. Our entry from our earthly home into our heavenly home. Gosh, that's a journey that takes great courage. That's a monumental ending to face, but it's a blessed moment that our gospel writers and singers sang about all of the time. That transition from earth into heaven. Maybe the ending you're facing is a little less monumental, right? You're facing the ending of a chapter in your child's life. Maybe your kid's headed to kindergarten next year, or middle school, or elementary school, or high school, or college, or the world beyond. Maybe your kid's getting married soon. And there's an ending to be grieved somewhere in all of that. Maybe the ending you face is a job or a dream that is passing away. For many of us in this congregation, we are grieving with this idea that there are some amazing, amazing people in this world whose lives on earth are ended far too soon. What's an ending you are facing today? And is it bringing you great joy, as some endings do, or great sorrow? Is there an ending today that you are trying to avoid? If you, like the disciples, are facing an ending, then the good news of the gospel this morning is this. Always, 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 God turns our endings into beautiful beginnings in the story of faith. That's the gospel truth. The fact of life is this. Endings happen, and they are brutal, and a lot of times they are sad. But most endings in this life are not created by God. They are a part of life on earth. They are a reality. And yet God comes in and says, all of your endings, I will make beginnings. It's the story of faith. Because we receive the Holy Spirit, which means we receive the presence of Christ in our life. A Christ who says, behold, I will make all things new. And so on Pentecost, we celebrate, we're a people of hope. We are a people of great hope. And our hope isn't like Pinterest hope, like a cute hope word on our computer screen. We have live and living hope. Hope has a name. It's Jesus. Hope has a name. It's not just an adjective. It's a name. Jesus Christ. Hope is alive and present and running amok in our life in the person of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinitarian theology that we celebrate on this morning. So if you've been to a Pentecost worship service more than once or twice, you're wondering why I haven't talked about Acts. Acts is the story we love to tell. It's always in the preaching lectionary for this Sunday, and it's Luke's story of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the flames dance above their heads, and they all speak in different languages so that they can share the gospel with the world. And it's a great story, but it's Luke's. I wanted you to hear John's story this morning. What does John tell us about the gift of the Holy Spirit? What nuances does John want us to know? And what John wants us to know about the Holy Spirit is that it is the bringer of peace and audacious hope in a world that is always trying to end different chapters of our life. We are a people of hope, and John wants us to hear that. That's the good news of the gospel, that every ending becomes a beginning. We are called to be people of hope. And so you can't talk about the calling of Holy Spirit hope without talking about Noah. Obviously, right? So stick with me. We're going clear back to Genesis. Noah, the rains have stopped. 40 days and 40 nights. They're over. He opens the window of the ark. It is full of stinking animals. He's trying to get some fresh air. And what does he do? He looks out at a literal sea in front of him. There is nothing but water. And he is tired of shoveling manure every day. And so what does he do? He wonders, is this the end? Is this where his story with God ends? Is this the final chapter? But he sends out some hope, right? He sends out a raven, forget about that. But then he sends out some doves, which are the symbol of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. He sends out a dove once, twice, three times. The first time it comes back, nothing. The second time it comes back, it's got like a twig in its beak. The third time, it doesn't come back at all because it's made a home. It's found dry land. Noah sends out the dove and hope is born anew. Noah, boat builder, zookeeper, man of faith extraordinaire, got another chapter of his life from the Lord because he sent out hope, and hope returned to him with more chapters of his story with God. Hope was born anew that day on an ark full of animals surrounded by water. So before we get back to singing and dancing, I got one more question. And the question is this. It's like a murder mystery. There's always one more question. By the way, did the Holy Spirit appear in the life of the disciples in that very moment that Jesus came into the upper room? Did Jesus' breath, like minty fresh breath, like a gum commercial, as it passed over them, did it actually confer the Holy Spirit at that very moment? Is that when the Holy Spirit entered the story? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they had the Holy Spirit with them from the minute they dropped their nets to follow Jesus. Maybe Jesus showed up in the upper room not to give them the Holy Spirit, but to remind them of what had been with them all along. That the Holy Spirit is always with us. We've got the Holy Spirit always with us. We simply have to listen for the flutters of hope within. Let us pray. Lord, some of us this morning are facing an ending. And sometimes endings are awesome, but sometimes they're brutal and they hurt. And we avoid them like the plague. Lord, whisper into our ears the hope of the story of faith, that every ending you will make a beginning, that our stories with you will never, ever end. On this Pentecost, bring us hope anew, a hope that was always with us, even from the beginning. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.